99.9 KISW. We return to the men's room with Miles and Thrill.
Who Sucks Less is on the way, but first time for a few emails to the men's room at KISW.com. You've got mail. You've got mail. Got to tell one other question. What is a story that you are always asked to retell? Guys, I was a counselor for a number of years during summers at camp, and every year they had a big show to surprise the campers during the week. It was a random act. Even the counselors didn't know what it would be before the show. Years past, it had been a hypnotist, music acts, jugglers. It's before the show, and my cabin campers are all excited. One of the other counselors suggests we go out to the field, play a little kickball. Cool. That'd be a good way to get the energy out before the show. Now, earlier that week, I had twisted my ankle, so I was in a boot. No kickball for me, but it'd be great for the kids. So we go out to the field and find one of the lead counselors standing next to a couple guys I don't recognize, and a huge grin is on his face. I don't think much of it. Meet the guys, have fun playing kickball. About an hour later, we get the bell to start the big show, line up and start going out to the barn, and hear a song on repeat, and I swear I recognize it. It sounds like the President of the United States song. Curtains open, and we were playing kickball with Chris and Dave, bass and guitarist to the President of the United States of America. Sans a drummer.
That's pretty cool.
So I've kind of played kickball with the President of the United States.
Hey,
shout out to my friends on YouTube. That from Derby420.
All right.
Okay, time for a couple of birthdays brought to you by Men's Room Roasted Red Salsa from San Juan Salts Company.
Dip responsibly.
All right, let's see what we got here.
I'm getting tired of saying that, man.
What?
Dip responsibly?
I saw somebody this weekend, and I looked at him and said, that's the irresponsible dip.
How do they dip irresponsibly?
Dip responsibly,
they
people.
Double dip?
I'm telling you. It was just all over his face.
Like, come on.
Yeah. Come on, man. San Juan's making a delicious product. You eat it proper.
Sorry, you're three. Yeah.
This one says, Ola bitches.
He was four.
It has come to my attention that on today, the 24th of June, our very own mistress of booze and new original Jennifer Richard is celebrating her 24th anniversary with KISW.
But it's an anniversary, it's not a birthday.
Yeah, we don't do anniversaries. We don't do dead people. We don't do your animals if they passed away. We don't do your animals if they're still alive.
Although I will point out, if you are on YouTube and you just watched the Rapunzel video, the In Action News team, Jen Richards did in fact supply the singing voice of Bonnie.
Well, there you go.
Yes, that was not Mike. That was in fact
I would also add to my friends Phil and Tara, again, we don't do baby announcements. If we had, might have said congrats. But,
on the day they're born.
Yeah, that's
the actual birthday.
Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, we'll do it then. Well, on to the real birthdays.
The real ones.
The ones where people are celebrating their birthday.
Dip responsibly.
Which is why we do a birthday segment. All the bitches, I was super late to do this last year, and y'all don't do text message shout outs, so I learned the hard way. Today is my Uncle T-Man's birthday. Thanks for always being there for me. Could you please give him a fish sandwich? And Coach Ted, inspiring him to stay healthy and live long time. I love you, Uncle. Love your favorite niece, Riley.
Damn it.
To Oregon fish sandwich.
Is she really right? Live long time?
She did.
You live long time.
Okay. Best way to live long time. Well, I don't know how old you are, dude, but I would recommend if you're over 40, get your physical, get your blood work done. If you have a problem sleeping, maybe a CPAP.
And you're like a born-again Christian with that thing.
I got 7 hours last night.
I know. You're all about it.
I'm just saying. Like, it's helped my blood pressure and a lot of other stuff.
What was your score?
Oh, I didn't look it up.
Damn it.
I know. I don't look it up every day. I assumed it was a good one. But I don't know, man. Mix in some fruits and vegetables. Drink some green teas.
Or whiskey.
Yeah,
look, I'm just going to say this. Every time that this person is 187 years old, male, female, doesn't matter, which is sacred to long life, whiskey.
Yeah.
All of them. Across the board, no one says healthy living and yoga. They die in their 70s, but the old crusty people that just won't die, it's always whiskey and cigars.
Mm-hmm. I follow a couple golf threads on Reddit this morning. The first one I saw was this guy. He's 97 years old.
All right.
And he hits his first hole-in-one. 130-yard driver from the red tees. Okay. Par three. Again, 97 years old.
Is he allowed to play for the women's tees?
Well, when you're a senior, you're 97 years
old.
He's
97.
Yeah, I'm just asking.
Well, sometimes
I know how you are with rules.
The senior tees are often ahead of the red. So he's actually playing a tee up.
Hey, just checking.
Yeah. But either way, he hits a 130-yard driver in the hole. They got a picture of him grinning ear to ear. He's got a Michelob Ultralight bottle in one hand and a cig in the other.
I'm just saying. That's a secret to a long life.
This guy's a legend. This guy's a legend. He's grinning ear to ear, first hole in one.
Got alcohol.
Ripping a cig. Got an ultra in his other hand, smiling ear to ear.
If I hit a hole in one in golf, I'd smoke a cig.
Yep. Hello, guys. Want to wish my dad, Josh, a very happy 51st birthday and 28th wedding anniversary. So can we get a bong rip, turtle sex, and thrill shotgun gets? P.S. If you're in the Olympia area and need fireworks for the 4th, come see me at Brew Crew Fireworks on Chehalis Reservation, right near the Lucky Eagle Casino. That from Robert.
Oh.
Get. I say get, not get. All right, guys, here you go. Happy birthday. Happy birthday. Happy birthday to you.
Yaws and Dirty Germans brought to you by Men's Room Original Sausage. Available through Uli's World Famous Sausage, mensroomlive.com, and other fine retailers. Mmm, Schweinefleisch.
Thank you, Robin. A couple extra emails. This one says D-bags. From yesterday's program. Hello, guys. I'm catching up on the Odyssey app on the subject of the biggest D-bags in music. I want you guys to know I work security for Aaron Lewis for a 2-day event and never had a bad moment. He was very kind, offered me drinks, and gave me some free merchandise.
So good
from,
for you.
That from Bear Bear. I'm glad you had a good experience with him.
Yeah.
Seriously. What else we
got? I don't hate the guy. I just don't like him.
Yeah. Let's see.
At all.
Mile High Club. Hola, guys, because we were trying to determine, I think we determined you needed to be like 5,000 some feet to technically, in our world, be in the Mile High Club because you are, in fact, a mile off of the ground.
Yes.
I mean, based on the definition of the...
5,280, I believe that's what a mile is.
Yeah, anyway. So, it says, Ola, regarding the poll on Big Dummy, there is a way to join the Mile High Club without cramming yourself in a commercial jet laboratory and risking potential FAA problems. Love Cloud in Las Vegas offers pretty affordable, romantic, quote-unquote, flight tours.
Oh, that's right.
Or so I am told. Rock on, name withheld. And there's a picture in here. Basically, it is just a bed with pillows in the fuselage in the back of the airplane.
That is correct. Yeah.
I do know about that, and I almost brought it up last week when we had that question, but... I don't know. I don't think that counts. Part of the question was
it's
like
kind of cheating.
Was getting caught.
Yeah.
Or not, and just pulling it off.
And pulling it off, sure. But the risk of getting caught is what makes it, you know, interesting.
Yep.
I'm not saying I wouldn't do it.
Right. I think it's still awesome, but like that's already planned out for you.
But would you say you're part of the Mile High Club? I mean, technically, you've checked all the boxes. You had sex. You're a mile off the ground.
I guess you're right. Yeah, I mean, you're right. Technically, you're still a mile off the ground.
Yeah. Low risk, mile high club, yeah.
Subject nicknames. Ola Bacholas, catching up on your show on the Odyssey app, subject of nicknames. In ninth grade, I was given the nickname Gibby, and it has stuck. Everyone calls me that, professors, bosses, dad, except for my wife and some mom. I don't think the majority of my college teammates knew my first name until it was time for graduation. Went to a Catholic elementary school in Elkridge, Maryland, and similar to one Andy Mack, there were 6 other Josephs in my brother's first grade class.
At a Catholic school?
To this day, my dad still calls him Joe G. Finally, my dad's childhood nickname was Stump because of his short tree trunk legs. My mom hates the nickname, but fast forward 50 years, and that is what all of his grandkids call him now. So she has to love it. That from Gibby.
I know a guy we called Stumpy. His family called him that. People still call him Stumpy.
Why? Same general build?
Yeah, he was like a reverse Stump. Like, he was a big dude with me, but he wasn't thick. He just had skinny legs and skinny arms, but just was mostly gut.
Okay.
Oh, God.
Look, it would have been mean, but his family called him Stump.
Oh, boy, sorry if this is a little long, but pretty funny on nicknames. Navy brought me here in 2005, and I shipped one of my cars over from Georgia. When I first got off the submarine and got in my car, I had the seat button and on my FM radio, landed on KISW. So I've been listening to your show the entire time you've been on. Love the show, catching up with the podcast. I heard you all talking about nicknames. Now, one of my best buddies I had in the Navy was a big brother named Charles Champion. Obviously, he got the nickname Champ. I don't believe you can get a better nickname than that. The thing about Champ is he was super proud of his afro. It was exactly 6 inches in bulk to comply with the military grooming standards. He even kept a mechanic's metal ruler in his pocket in case he got called out. All that to say this, when you pump a poop tank on a submarine, the primary method is to pressurize a tank to above sea pressure for whatever depth you're at. Well, one day, Champ went to take a crap and missed the sign that said that the tank was pressurized, and he decided to take a dump. When he pulled the flush valve, it sprayed him with pressurized crap water. The corpsman had to irrigate his eyes, nose, ears. He had to take three showers. He could not get the smell out, so he had to shave off his prized, beautiful afro.
No.
After that, my man got hit with the nickname Champoo. What a huge fall from grace. Love you guys, and cheers. That from Aaron in Gig Harbor.
Now, the men's room wants to know, who sucks less?
Hey, time for Who Sucks Less. Stephen Thrill Hill, you bring us three stories from the news each and every week. They always suck. It is up to us to know the determinant out of the three stories which one sucks the least. Now, if you happen to like the Men's Room on Facebook or follow us on X and Instagram at Men's Room Live, the debate is already underway on Who Sucks Less.
Yes, indeed. And like I said at the top of the show, these stories are just effed up. They're just effed up. They go all over the place. So, like all I said, most people that end up getting herpes, there's some kind of sexual conquest behind it. Not in this case. And look, many have heard claims of retaliatory restaurant workers spitting in customers' food and hope it's just gross. And you hope it's an urban legend. Well, in McCurtain County, Oklahoma, a former Arby's manager is charged with felony poisoning, accused of spitting in a woman's food and, as a result, giving her herpes. That would be one Jenica Church. She says, quote, I love Arby's, not anymore. After a long night of bartending, Church stopped in Arby's at Broken Bow, Oklahoma. Says it was taking a little bit of time. I thought they were mad at me because it was about to close. That's probably the case. Now, the video player is currently playing. Now, Church said that she had a little history with Amanda Hendricks. That's the manager at the time, but nothing major. She went home, ate, shared the sandwich with her father-in-law and her grandfather-in-law. Now, she lives in a home with her husband, kids, and paternal grandparents. Well, after that night, her mouth flared up, and that had never happened before. So she went to the doctor, and the doctor said, hey, you got herpes. Now, because Broken Bow is a small town, word travels fast. Now,
what about the other two? Did they get it, too?
Not at the time of this being published.
Okay.
But I bet you they're worried about it once word gets out. Now, because it's a small town, word travels fast. And she says this woman, Hendricks, had been bragging about spitting in her sandwiches. And that's when the woman's daughter heard about it. So according to the affidavit, the police officers say they pulled camera footage from Arby's and, in fact, saw Hendricks spit in the food. She started with felony poisoning with intent to injure, and a warrant has been issued for her arrest. Now, Church and her family, they filed a lawsuit against Hendricks, Arby's, and her affiliated restaurant groups, claiming the incident caused extreme anxiety, emotional distress, and, of course, fear of infection. And she fears that it'll impact her work in the service industry.
Did you hear what the woman said when the cops asked her about this?
Oh, what did she say?
She said, yeah, spitting the food, so what?
Good God. All right.
I get why that woman is also suing Arby's real quick, but also, like, Arby's certainly has something to do with it.
No. No.
I mean, they're still going to put the policy, yeah, we don't encourage our employees to spit your food, but you should know that. But anyway, yeah, got herpes. Because this woman spit in her arms. God almighty.
And also, who shares a roast beef sandwich with two other people? That seems a little bit weird.
It is kind of weird.
I'm just like, here, you want a bite of us? Here, you take some. I'm like, no, it's my sandwich. I stopped after work. I picked it up.
Small town.
Oh. You couldn't get three sandwiches?
Now we have another story where a 30-year-old man, he's facing all kinds of charges because he likes to have sex. The problem is, he likes to have sex with dead people. So this is following allegations that he forced entry into a morgue to engage in sexual acts with deceased individuals. Fenis Liu, he stands accused of using a crowbar to break into the medical examiner's office in Arizona. And surveillance footage captured him having sex with not one, not two, not three, but four corpses and tampering with the seals of 11 body bags. Now, he faces multiple felony charges, including burglary and sexual contact with a dead body. He did not show up at his court proceedings after being classified as a threat to himself and the public. And they're yet to notify the families of the deceased that are involved in the incident. Now, a spokesperson explained, quote, the state's been informed by law enforcement investigating this case that they need a little bit of time to make notification to the next of kin for the descendants in this matter. and I'd also like to take a little time to assess the potential impact to possibly other criminal cases in which the descendant may have been associated. So he's facing a total of 5 felony counts: third-degree burglary, criminal damage and defacement, second-degree escape from felony custody, possession of burglary tools, and sexual conduct with a dead person.
Wow.
Yeah. And now, this is a weird one. So visitors at a small English zoo, they witnessed something kind of crazy last Thursday after a man hurled a 3-year-old boy into the crocodile enclosure. So Cambridgeshire police, they were called to Johnson Zoo just after 1:20 in the afternoon local time. The child did suffer serious injuries, taken to the hospital, now in critical but stable conditions. Now, a 30-year-old man from Norfolk, he was arrested on suspicion of attempted murder. Detectives say they do not believe that he knew the child, which makes the whole thing crazier to me. Quote, "We're speaking to people who were at zoo at the time of this distressing incident to understand more about the circumstances." Now, it's not clear whether the boy was attacked by crocodiles. Area resident, a guy named Mike Anicelli, he said to the local paper, the crocodiles, they're kept in a converted cattle barn. They're about 15 feet below the walkways and protected by 4-foot-high railings. Another visitor said that workers may have saved the boy's life. It appeared the staff or members of the public had gone into the enclosure to rescue the boy, almost certainly prevented further injury. He says he was at the zoo's tea room when somebody came in calling for help. Next thing we knew, staff were coming in from all directions, and a trucker buggy was rushed around, and the guy carried the poor lad out, put him on the trailer to administer first aid.
And that guy was arrested.
He was, in fact, arrested because apparently in England, you can't pick up other people's kids and throw them into the crocodile enclosure.
Ted, you go first.
I mean, look. I think we all know how this is going to go.
I know, too.
Obviously, the lady spitting in the food. The only thing I can defend her on is maybe she didn't know she had mouth herpes.
Oh, you know.
I mean, maybe.
You have cold sores. Yes.
Right. Again, that's awful. And really just stop defacing Arby's like that.
I know.
Right? I like Arby's.
Do the veggie grill.
Yeah. The man in England, I don't know what would fathom you to throw, well, certainly not your own children, but any child. Like, first of all, don't touch other 3-year-olds.
And then if you are, don't throw them into the crocodile enclosure.
Right. So that's absolutely insane.
So what are you saying, Ted?
What I'm saying is, look, the guy in Arizona that works at Broken in the Morgue and had sex with the dead bodies. This is awful.
He had sex with
sure is.
In one break-in. That's just one break-in. The man had sex with 4 corpses.
But at least those people were already dead, so nobody living got hurt.
Yeah.
And most of the people on our Medroom Facebook page kind of agree. It's like, that's an awful, awful story. But compared to the other two, I will say it sucks the least.
Look, I agree with it. And that's part of the reason I put these stories together. Because it's like, look, how can you have sex with 4 corpses and not be the worst person in a news story?
Correct.
This is how.
Wow.
I mean, that's unbelievable. Viles, I'm assuming you agree?
I sure do, Ted.
Yeah, I got through it.
I sure do.
Painfully.
Exactly.
So, nepophiliac. He sucks the
he
least.
He sucks the least.
He's our guy.
Like, what are the other two options?
Debate continues on Who Sucks Less. If you like the Men's Room on Facebook, or follow us on X and Instagram at Men's Room Live. All right, coming up at 5:08, we'll drink a toast with a shot of the day. You are listening to The Men's Room.
The Men's Room returns with Miles and Thrill.
All right, coming up at 5:08, we'll drink a toast with a shot of the day. And we do have your headlines on the way at 5:50. But first, quick check with Mike Hawk and some of the stories and headlines he is not working on.
Well, thank you, Miles. A new study has found that taking a 5-minute walk every hour at work helps boost the well-being of employees without losing efficiency.
Is this a humble brag on your part? Since you're constantly walking all here to get your steps in.
I decided to get it in there. You know, I felt like that added a positivity to the conversation, yeah.
You feel more positive?
I do.
Really?
I feel very positive.
I mean, it feels like Mike's just printing out a lot of stories about walking around the office.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And are you lazy? Bastards to the Sorry.
Good save, Ted. Well done.
Yeah. Oh, that would have been a bad one to slip up on.
It actually only started because there was one day I was just burned out. I was exhausted. And you guys were going down and you had talked about how your smoke breaks. It's kind of a, no pun intended, it's a breath of fresh air. It's just it's a way to reset yourself.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I was like, screw it. I'm just going to take my own 5-minute break. You know,
we were trying to get you to smoke, dummy.
Yeah, I know you were. Because the complaint is that, you know, how come it... If I don't smoke, I have to work the entire day. But if I do smoke, I get 10 minutes breaks every hour. It's like, F it. This is my 10-minute break every hour. And then it's like,
yeah, you can get up and walk around.
Yeah.
Take a break.
I was like, it's great.
That's what I would do.
I get to catch up with all my coworkers out there. Give our friend Bree some grief over there.
With her Brazilian Mexican heritage.
With her Brazilian Mexican heritage. I go over there, I'm like, I'm cheering for Scotland because, you know, I got the Scottish heritage in me. She's like, well, I'm cheering for Brazil for my heritage. I said, you're Brazilian? She says, no, I'm Mexican. Free.
All right. Yeah, sure.
There's logic. A county in Florida is now adding traffic lights to their new roundabouts.
Yeah.
Oh.
Because people don't know how to use them.
Because they don't know how they work.
That's the point of the roundabout.
That's supposed to alleviate that. I don't...
I mean, Seattle's dropping them all over the place now, at least in North Seattle, and people are struggling mightily.
What I can't believe that hasn't caught on yet is jug handles.
Jug handles, what is that?
Pretty well exclusively to New Jersey. But, okay, so if you are going to make a left turn, you don't make a left turn.
Okay.
Right? You go through the light, all right?
Okay.
And you make, as soon as you get through the light, you make a little right loop-to-loop exit.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay, and then it spins you back around to make your left.
So it's kind of like a clover leaf without...
Correct. So there's no arrows. You don't have to wait for people to make that left turn.
Yeah.
You go through the light, you stay in the right lane, it'll swing you around, and it continues green from that point, and then you go that way.
Okay. I dig it. That way you don't have to worry about the traffic coming at you.
Especially if you're a motorcyclist. You don't get left-handed turned.
Yeah. There you go. Okay. I dig that. I just don't know how roundabouts are so hard.
They're not, but I think people just get paranoid when they get to them.
Yeah.
They're not difficult, but if you're not used to them, like if you go to Boston, they're everywhere. And they will go through a traffic circle at like 50 freaking miles an hour. It will terrify you.
Yeah.
But yeah, people slow down. And like I said, because you're not used to them and they're just suddenly everywhere.
Freaked my dad out when we went to Scotland because, one, they're driving on the wrong side of the road over there, and then their freeways have roundabouts. Yes. Three lanes of roundabouts driving on the wrong side of the car, on the wrong side of the road.
No, thank you.
Good googamooga.
I'll take a tour bus.
Did they have signs? When we were in London, the one thing that we noticed, and when you get to any intersection, there are signs everywhere that basically just says, look the other way.
Oh.
Because almost all the tourists that come in, right? Well, they're on the same side of the road, but you get, and it is habitual. I would get to an intersection, I'm looking to my left, and I realize traffic's to my right. So you wander out in traffic probably 50% of the time.
Yeah. I had a stranger save me in London.
Same thing.
Because you're looking the wrong way. I looked the wrong way and he just like grabbed me. And I was like, thank you.
Yeah.
Sorry, I'm stupid.
I can tell. Get a baseball cap on. I knew.
He knew right away.
Oh, yeah. American.
American, huh?
Yes.
Sorry. Why don't you guys fix this? Right? It's only the Brits, right?
No, I want to say Japan.
Jamaica?
There's not many.
There's not many.
Honestly, with as much of them that are complaining that we don't use the metric system, we should complain more that they drive on the wrong side of the road.
I do it, straight up trade. Let's all agree to drive on one side, and I'm cool with the metric system.
You're right. It's going
to
be crazy inconvenient for both. Let's fix this.
Let's just do it.
New research has found that pop songs have grown meaner and more immoral over the last 60 years.
Well, sure. Things have gotten away with more.
Things have gotten more loose, and they've
doo-wop, and, you know, as time progresses and things happen in this country and there's a response to it, it's like, yeah, what do you think's going to happen?
Right.
And oftentimes, too, there's songs that I knew for years that I didn't think were anything about anything, and then I found out it was about a guy using drugs. I was like, you got to be kidding me.
Yeah, true enough. True enough.
There is some good pop songs, though, that we listen to the lyrics.
Yeah, a little mean. I mean, you and I, we both like Sabrina Carpenter.
I was thinking about Manchild right now.
She just S's on dudes the entire time.
Yeah.
It's like, I love it, yeah. Put your thinking caps on, Jen. It's time for the Merriam-Webster word of the day. Still open competition. Here I give you guys a 70% chance of success. It is a noun brought to you by the letter P. Careful. It usually refers to a group of famous or notable people or things. A P word that refers to a group of famous or notable things. A noun. A P word that usually refers to a group of famous or notable people or things. They also say, it also refers to the officially recognized gods of a particular people, as well as the...
Pantheon.
Bam.
All right. You got it. Nice word.
Pantheon.
Right. Like, where do you sit in the pantheon of actors?
Right.
Exactly.
Yeah, we don't hear that word much here.
No. They couldn't even show up and take your coworker to work day.
Yeah, I know.
Today's the day, man. A new study found that real and fake laughs. Wait a minute. Nope, hang on. I'm going to pass on that one for right now. There's new evidence to suggest that moose were actually native to Colorado long before they were reintroduced back in 1978.
Colorado, huh?
Colorado. That doesn't shock me. That's still kind of in that area that I would feel like I would see a moose.
Mountains? Yeah. Snow?
Right.
Right.
You know, I don't know if they're considered native here, but I wouldn't be shocked if one wandered on down here and just found good footing to be around here. They like big wooded cold areas.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I feel like where you find bison, you'll probably find moose.
Sure. Well, we don't have a great history with the hunting of giant mammals.
That's fair.
Well, I mean, basically almost killed out bison.
Mm-hmm.
Luckily, we kind of rebuilt them.
Mm-hmm.
Elk as well. Rebuilt them. Yeah, you know what I mean? Like, I'm sure there was a ton of moose in a lot of places.
You bet.
You know, you hunt them out, they leave.
Ta-da. Nearly 90% of Americans distrust AI. Good.
All right, well, yeah. Good. That's healthy.
You know, it has its purposes, and you should question what you read from AI, because it's not all-knowing.
I mean, that's all.
It is artificial intelligence. It literally means fake intelligence.
And it's generally the aggregate of whatever historically we have recorded.
Correct.
Unless it has its hallucinations. Man, my buddy, he's in from out of town, just went on a lasting cruise with his family, but he works in the AI security world. He's the third guy I know that works in this ass, now I'm talking, but man... I was talking to him Saturday. He's like, bro, there's so many things you don't know. But he's like, I don't trust it, and I work with it.
Right.
You know, he's like, I trust it as far as being like a calculator trusted. You know, 1 + 1 = 2. It can figure that out. But he goes, when it just comes to like life advice stuff, like if it's not purely analytical, and even then, he's like, I don't trust it. I'm like, but you work with it. He's like, exactly.
Mm-hmm. I actually did read another deal that when it comes to its language and the words that it's using, like people, it's starting to forget older words. When it notices in our speech patterns that it's starting to forget that words are, you know, down in their usage, it will also decrease the amount that it's using those words.
Well, because it's not in the articles and everything it's reading online.
Right, the regurgitate.
It's not being used by, you know, humans.
So why do we need data centers if you're going to start forgetting stuff? Just start forgetting.
Well, you also don't want to use something that no one knows.
Exactly. It wants to make sense. And that's where I do find it fascinating. Its ability to actually kind of think, quote unquote, for itself.
It does some very cool things. And like anything, so like, there's nothing wrong with a hammer unless I take the hammer and bash you over the head with it. So it's more the bad actors kind of use it for stuff. But generally speaking, it just is what it is. Mm-hmm. It is a tool.
A new study found that real and fake laughs come from different parts of the brain.
You don't say.
Ha ha ha. Totally just led that one there. But you know what? I wanted to look about laughs.
The Men's Room Top 10. The Men's Room Top 10!
So I decided to look this up. This is from factretriever.com, and it is some fascinating laughing facts. We like to laugh on this show. We enjoy it. Down here it says that laughter reduces pain, reduces blood sugar levels, increases glucose tolerance in diabetics and non-diabetics, improves job performance, and brings people together.
It does.
All right. Laughter is truly the best medicine. I learned that when I was a very young kid. I feel like there was a Reader's Digest column that was literally called Laughter's the Best Medicine, and it was just bits, and I loved it.
Okay.
It made me laugh my ass off the entire time. It was stupid.
I mean, it never made me one who says, I don't like to laugh.
Yeah.
You might not like to cry. You don't want to get angry, but you know, I hate when I laugh. Like, you might not like the sound of your laugh, but everyone enjoys laughing.
But there are those people that challenge the laughter.
What do you mean?
They challenge it. They people try to be funny.
Sure.
You go in any given day, you will find somebody that tries some way to make somebody laugh.
Of course.
There's always the one that has to challenge it. That's not funny.
Yeah, well, yeah.
This is funny to who?
Oh. That's why they created chats.
Yeah, exactly.
I would just like to point out, while the rest of you are being entertained, I'm the guy that sucks. Like, it's fine, but why do you have to share?
Mm-hmm.
But I don't like laughing.
Laughter, such as nervous laughter, is often used as a defense mechanism against anxiety or fear.
Sure.
Yeah, that's why
it's nervous laughter.
Not so much now, but man, when he was a kid. And like, he's a really, really good kid. Maybe twice a year did he do something that really had to address it.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd be pissed. But he knew I was pissed. Generally at home, I'm not that angry about things. I think our whole conversation, like, dude, and whole conversation's explained. But when we have to have an actual conversation, and I'm mad, he kept chuckling. Like, I did not realize he had a nervous laugh. And I'm like, what? And he's like, no, I'm sorry. Okay. So I start again, right? I'm laying into So I walked out of the room and I said to my wife, I'm going to kill that mother effer if he laughs. And she goes, listen, that is his nervous laugh. I'm like, for real? She goes, yeah, he does not think this is funny at all. He's actually very upset, but
he knows that
you're outwardly pissed. So, yeah.
I'm a nervous laugher.
Yes, you are.
Yeah, I've had a, like somebody said it's not funny. It's like it's not funny. This whole thing is bad and ridiculous. I just can't believe we're having this conversation.
Right. I'm about to say you. It's also not nervous. Sometimes you have rage laughter. When you are fed up with somebody, you're talking to them, and they clearly just don't understand.
Ted's laughing.
Why don't you tell me what we're doing?
There it is.
Explain it to me like I'm five. It makes no sense.
Laughter yoga. You guys ever heard of laughter yoga?
No.
It's a type of yoga that combines laughter, deep breathing, and playful exercises.
Ooh.
Sorry. How playful we get.
Yeah, I mean, it's just a little playful.
Laughing too hard can cause cataplexy or sudden and uncontrollable muscle weakness. A person experiencing this is still awake and aware, but they are unable to move. You literally laugh yourself into paralysis.
Jesus. I haven't heard that one before.
Jeez, a whiz. Laughter improves cardiovascular health and increases blood flow. This is a fun fact. You did not know this about laughter. Children who are born blind and deaf are able to laugh.
How do we not know that?
I don't know.
Blind and deaf?
Blind and deaf.
Why didn't they think the kid couldn't laugh?
Yeah. He might not know what's funny, but I assume he can laugh. Yeah.
I don't know how he got the joke.
He knows all the emotions.
Right.
I don't know how he got the joke. Anger, sadness.
He's right to laugh.
Happiness.
I think the miracle worker was sitting there with Helen Keller's hand just telling her jokes from time to time.
Yeah, I had to. Knock, knock. They never told her Helen Keller jokes. Like, listen, this is how kids are going to be introduced to the fact that you... When I found out she was a real person,
right,
it blew my mind. I heard Helen Keller jokes like starting in kindergarten and not as though it was some character we made up to tell these jokes. And then later in school, you know, like historically speaking, Helen Keller, and I mean, everyone in the class started chuckling and the teacher's like, no, this is a real person. We're like, oh, God.
Yeah. No.
Just come in. What are you doing? Sorry, Bree's out there.
Get your ass in here. What are you doing, Bree? Grab that microphone.
It's our
right
Brazilian Mexican descended.
Right. Grab that microphone right there. What's going on out there?
The score.
Oh no.
It's not looking good for you, Mike.
I know it's not.
Over here, Brazil versus Scott.
I know. I knew they were going to do well.
Whoever, like,
just keep putting the boot on my head and shoving me deeper.
Do you want to know what the score?
What is the score, Bree?
3-0.
Oh, blast it. Oh,
that'd be 3-0.
Speak soccer.
I was heading out and I just see the big screen over and I was like, oh no. I gotta tell Mike. I gotta rub it in.
She's like my daughter. Mm-hmm. Mike, I gotta rub this in your face. Your team's losing. My daughter does it to him too.
Right. Yeah.
Except the Mariners had a chance against the Orioles.
Yeah, I know. I already knew that our chances were slim, but that's fun. Thank you, Bray.
Yeah. I just wanted to give that, you know, so you could just ride all the way home and just think about that.
I appreciate you. I appreciate it. More fun facts about laughter.
Oh, I just got in.
Thanks for bringing her in.
Yeah.
Personal ads for both men and women mention humor more often than education, intelligence, profession, or sexual drive.
So personal ads?
Personal ads.
Like, really?
You know, like on dating sites. Like, I enjoy laughter.
I'm not on dating sites.
Personal ads, not personal ads. Like,
okay, I can help you laugh.
Research shows that people who laugh at dark jokes have higher IQs and report less aggressive tendencies. I believe we brought that up not terribly long ago.
I mean, it makes sense to understand that it is a joke and not just awful,
right?
Because that's not funny. Like, well, there's a joke in there, right? So if you don't get it, you're just not tracking.
I follow a guy on Instagram, and he always just says, "If you laugh at this, you're going to hell." And then it's just the comments under some video.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I've seen some.
They're hilarious.
Laughing just 10 to 15 minutes a day can burn up to 40 calories.
Wow.
Really?
That's a long time to laugh, though.
That's why I'm so skinny.
10 to 15 minutes a day?
I mean, who laughs 10 to 15 minutes?
Well, I mean, if you added up aggregate to the court you're away from, say 16 hours out of the day.
Yeah.
That's about a minute an hour that you're laughing at something.
Ooh.
I think that tracks.
Okay.
Oh, the guy laughed at a goddamn thing from 11 to noon today.
Okay, well,
that hour's gone.
And then there's Ted, who only laughs when he's angry.
I laugh till after 1 p.m.
The fear of laughter. Gelotophobia. Those who suffer from gelotophobia respond to all laughter as if it's at their expense. Up to 13% of the population could be afraid of laughter.
Well, they're right. We're laughing at you.
Right.
Remember, just because you're paranoid doesn't mean you're wrong.
The laughter is not with you, it is at you.
I hate if something goes down at a funeral, that just seems... And, like, funerals are not funny. I understand that. But every once in a while, there's a moment that might be lost in other people. And between you and, like, your family or your friends that are there, you're like, this is hilarious, and we're all trying not to burst out in laughter.
Right.
Because it's not the right place.
No, it's a really rough crowd, man.
Again, this happened to me personally. It's Arlington National Cemetery. It's my father. They do the whole ceremony. Then I'm walking the box of ashes over to put in the thing.
Okay.
I mean, it's very serious. Put it in there. Turn around, and my uncle's laughing. He's like, zippers down.
Oh!
And Arlington dead.
At Arlington.
Doggone it.
I disrespected my dad and the country.
Your penis is hanging out, I'll tell you.
But just, I can picture his face. This is big, ass-eating grin. He's like, flies down.
Well, there's the red. Where's the white and blue?
Laughter's contagious. Just watching people laugh activates the brain to prepare facial muscles to join in.
Yeah.
Prepare your face.
Comedians should say that when they walk out. Prepare your face, everybody. I'm about to be damn funny.
It's going
to
hurt.
Make you laugh so hard, you're going to poop yourself.
It's like, if you're in a room, I've been in a room with like a toddler. My friend walks in, he's like, what are you guys laughing at? I'm like, I don't know.
Right, he's
the baby
laughing.
Started, the, you're right, the kid was laughing, I started laughing.
That's right. Research shows that couples who laugh together are more likely to have a longer relationship. What is important is not so much finding a partner with a sense of humor, but rather that partners can create humor together.
Yeah, of course, man. Like,
what are you... I hate her. She's a bitch. We laugh together all the time.
God, every day I'm laughing at my wife. F her. Who says
I hate going home. We just laugh together.
Yeah, right. I hate
burning 40 calories at a time. Damn it.
Monkeys and rats laugh.
Okay.
That's quite a way to make that statement.
Yeah. So do hyenas.
You sound like the kid has an outburst in the back of the club. Do you have Tourette's? Monkeys and rats laugh.
Pretty sure parrots laugh at you.
Parrots? Mm-hmm. Oh, they laugh. I know the rats laugh. They discovered the rats laugh when you tickle.
I'm about to say, didn't they tickle rats?
Who had the idea? Mm. Well, I mean, it's interesting when they go, did you know if you tickle a rat, it laughs?
I'm going to tickle that rat.
Who thought, hey, man, let's go tickle that rat.
But you can tickle animals, though. You ever tickle a dog's foot?
No.
Jesus. Wow.
No, Mike, I have not. I'll be
dead
off.
Ticky, ticky.
They got their little foot stick in there, and usually they have little hair between their little paw pads.
Yeah.
And if you just gently touch that hair, then they'll jerk it because it tickles them.
Well, I know that. I thought they hated it.
That's tickling it. Well, nobody likes being tickled, Ted.
There's a thin line in your house between tickle and torture.
Mm-hmm. Yes, there is. Tickling is torture. You've been tickled. Researchers speculate that humans laughed before they could speak.
Oh, so you think the first words ever spoken were, what the hell is so funny?
Your shirt's on backwards. Just can't say it.
Just can't say it. But fun fact, humans are born with the capacity to laugh. The syllables ha ha, ho ho, and he he are part of the universal human vocabulary, and all cultures recognize them.
Huh.
So we are actually born with those words. Then I'll leave you with this last and final fun fact about laughter. The age at which we laugh the most exuberantly.
Ooh. Exuberantly?
Exuberantly laughed.
Well, 15.
7.
15, 7, 10.
10.
10. Bray with your phone.
Sorry.
5 and 6.
Okay.
Yeah.
I had to think back to my, like, when you made them laugh at that age, it was hysterical to them.
Right? Oh, yeah.
That you almost can't lose as a parent in that moment, unless you just suck. You kind of get, you tell them one joke, and they'll, I mean, for an hour, they'll like, tell it again, tell it again.
Kidding. Just hit
the one thing's weird about kids, they will laugh at the same joke over and over. Like, I've told you this joke 25 times in a row. It's not fun.
It's still hilarious. I used to listen to the same comedy special over and over over again. A woman in Florida was tired of getting woken up by her neighbors, and she took things just a little too far, Miles.
What did she do?
Tell you all about it at 5:50.
Thank you, sir. Headlines are coming up at 5:50. In the meantime, have we made it to drinking time?
Somebody out there deserves to be recognized. And the men's room knows just who it is. So to you, we say, bottoms up, sailor. You're the toast of our shot of the day.
Drink time it is, and as usual, we head to the drink desk and Steve at Thrill Hill to find out who we're toasting.
Yes, indeed. And today, we toast Andrew Martin. Andrew is one of the players in the World Series of Poker $1,000 Super Seniors Tournament. Well, on day of the tournament, Andrew was issued a warning because of his card guard. Are you familiar?
No.
Okay. If you don't know, a card guard is used to protect your hand. So sometimes a dealer, they'll reach for cards that they shouldn't. The card guard is a gentle reminder that your cards are still in play. So you place this thing on top of your chips, and when the dealer looks, what you're saying, I'm still in play.
Okay.
Right? That's all it is. And all the poker players use it. Now, official tournament rules, they state that there will be no foreign objects on the table except for a maximum of one card guard. They can be no longer than 2 inches in diameter and no more than 1/2 inch in depth. And Andrew's card guard, it met those requirements. He was, however, issued a warning because the card guard of choice happened to be a stainless steel butt plug.
Oh!
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's a straight-up butt plug, man. And he has it on top of his chips. They look very unhappy, but as he points out, he went through the rules for 2026. It doesn't say you can't use a butt plug. It met all the measurement requirements. I mean,
all right.
That's all. So, yeah, okay. He was issued a warning. So, if you play poker, don't use a butt plug as a card guard. So we pour this booze and we drink this booze because we think it's yummy.
Yummy!
So over the tongue and down the throat to party in our tummies. Down the hola, bitchola.
All right, let's get a contestant on the line now for Profile This, 206-803-ROCK. Profile This is next.